Bautista.
Present.
Bria. Karan.
Karen.
Karen, sorry. Gerda. Haas. Krawicki. McCarthy.
Here.
Ortiz Velez.
Here.
Smith.
Present.
Washington. And Mr. Chairman.
Present.
We have a quorum.
First, I want to explain that this is was a difficult meeting to schedule because it's summer and people's schedules are very hard to come up with as good attendance as we've had in the past. Let's move on with the agenda. The first matter is approval of the minutes of two meetings. First, from the May 24th meeting, and next from the June 26th public meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion and second to approve the minutes. Are there any corrections, additions, or errors?
I have one correction.
Yes.
On the first page, it says Chairman Lynch welcomes Stuart Karen. It says Director of Facilities Management, Planning, and Development. The title is a little too long. It's just Director of Facilities Management.
Okay.
Director of Facilities Management. Okay. Any other corrections? We had a number of people contact us about the accuracy of the minutes of the public meeting, and I believe we have resolved those concerns about whether their presentations were accurately reflected in the minutes. All those in favor of the minutes as amended?
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none. The next item on the agenda is a verbal update from Deputy Corporation Counsel Paul Kuklich regarding the Zilli contract. You may remember that we got an update and a report on the what is called the brand new management settlement that included provisions for adjusting and changing the scope of the contract with Zilli as an exclusive hospitality provider here at the domes at the annex at the previous meeting. And Corporation Council is here to update us on the status of the negotiations and the preparation of the contract.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, committee members and those in attendance, as I explained last time, we were at some sort of a little bit of an impasse with the settlement of the lawsuit, the negotiations, and the contract based on the HVAC system that we're looking to install into the annex to make sure it's a year-round event space facility, and we have come to a resolution on that. We've worked very closely with Zilli's and with our architecture and engineering division to come up with a system that we think will work. The system is a chiller system. It's not going to have the very large, monstrous, loud, noisy mechanicals as are in most systems. I'll be honest, if I say any more than that, I'll be talking about something I don't know anything about. But we have reached a resolution on that. And I'm going to be going back to the county board this September to present the new term sheet with Grandview Management and how we've come to that resolution. And it's to be approved by the Milwaukee County Board. That'll be the recommendation in settlement. And we're really excited about it. I've worked at the Parks Department from 2009 to 2012 as a contract services officer. And at that time, I worked really closely with Grandview Management at O'Donnell Park, at the Domes, and have had a lot of experience with Zilli's. And in fact, Mr. Zilli and Paul Roche from Grandview Management are here. Mr. Zilli came in from Florida, wanted to address the committee. So I hope you'll give him a few moments to hear him just introduce himself.
Fine. Any objections? Yes. Mr. Zilli?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good evening.
Okay. I also want to do these kind of like the end of the Thrones of Lions, but.
So often, so often, so often, I meet people, and I do some type of presentation.
and people go, we did that 2 years ago in January when we proposed something for the annex, and we had about 7-8 parks people there in a committee, and we were doing a presentation, and so, you know, you've been to your parties, you know your food, and they didn't know us at all. They had no real concept of what we do, how we do, and the skill of it. And as we went through the PowerPoint, there was a lot of aha moments, and oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And so we always, frankly, consciously say, what do you know about us? And then it allows us to really show the depth and breadth of who we are. And I'm glad you asked. We're a family-run business. My mother, we're celebrating 50 years this last February. And my mother was 46 with four boys, and my dad died when my dad died and didn't drive. All right? My mother is still working at 88. Me and my two brothers were active in the business. Two of my children are active in the business. Cousins were very involved, were very hands-on. I interviewed someone today down at Coast. She says, I like the fact that I've always felt an affinity towards family business. You seem to be a little more hands-on than most businesses. And that's exactly right. We're very familiar with venue management. And I have spoke many times at national conferences specifically on venue management, both from a consumer basis, from a server basis, from a contract basis. We're a company that can show you time after time after time you put the customer first. We're a very customer-centric business. And when the accident happened at the Domes, we had to place a lot of people all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. And one client we placed at a venue that we're preferred, and out of our money, my hand to God, it cost us $10,000. We don't have that kind of money. But she was so upset, and we're off in the face of Milwaukee County, and been for years. We do this in every partnership. We work well with, you know, Paul's the next word, but if Sue Black was here, she'd say, geez, you know, Jim was my go-to person. If you talk to Sandy Fowler, and not just me, Paul, account manager, my brother, we've got a great relationship with them. We are very dominant in sophisticated events. We did the Nordstrom grand opening. We did the Container Store grand opening. The fireworks at U.S. Bank, July 3rd, 1,500 people. We've done it 12 years. And we're used to very complex, sophisticated, high-moving events. All right? We use people that help us all the time. I worked with a guy named Jim Lawler. Jim's in Princeton. He's 80 years young. I wish I would have met him. I've known him 9 years. I wish I would have met him 30 years ago. He is the number one cultural consultant in the United States. His daughter runs his business. He does a consulting business on the side. I'm his main customer. And he educates me and coaches me for many, many different perspectives and how to provide the best experience for the consumer, the people that we have a contract with, and, of course, the HG. And he really has been invaluable. We work with many different markets. We're very much of a Marriott brand. We're not a high end of the high end. I was with a meeting planner last night. We had dinner, and I said, and she came from the Marriott, and she worked for a very well-known catering area, and she says, we have a range of dim to bright as far as different menus, markets, to appeal to everybody, not just the high end or not just, it's there. And it's a fact that we you talk to any one of our venues and say, they really, really offer many, many different markets to different people. We're in the Knot Hall of Fame. Only 1%, Knot is a wedding wire type of thing. And it's only 1% of the caterers in the country in the Knot Hall of Fame. We know the market extensively. We know, we study it. I have a beverage contract with the Oconomowoc Community Center. All right? If you were to talk to their parks director, he would say we've been instrumental in coaching him how to handle leads, how to market, how to prospect, and it's been phenomenally successful. When we started at Harbor Lights, which was our first contract in 1997, and the Hyatt had it previously, very quickly they evolved to where they said, we would like you to start selling the space. Meaning that typically, both here at the Domes, all these venues, a paid individual sold the space from Milwaukee County. And of course, they save the payroll, they save the fringe benefits, and we felt we simply understood what the consumer was looking for, what their needs were, and it's what we're trained to do, okay? And so this evolved to where we started selling all the space there, and then eventually, I don't know what year, they asked us, would you start selling the space at Mitchell Park Domes? And we've been selling it for years here, all right? We've been here since 1997 with a bar beverage only contract. In 2008, they put an RFP, so we simply want to go to a one provider. Everybody, we were the selected hospitality firm. We put $250,000 when they were doing the renovations of our money, and I had to go out and borrow it, still paying the loans on it, into the Mitchell Park Domes to do it. I was instrumental, and I was fortunate enough to serve on the task force in 2008 where Sue Black had me going to meetings. And I don't know if you remember when they used to have the water feature and the land and stone in the middle of the room. They were going to keep that. And I says, no. You got to open it up. You got to open it up. I says, it literally obstructs the view. It limits the number of people that can get into the lobby area there, which means it limits the market of people that you can sell, which limits the number of rentals. I said, you got to open this up. And it didn't just benefit us with doing more business and a different type of business, but all the major events that have gone on here in the last years where you've got 1,000, 2,000 people and it's retail, it's not a specific party, it's simply because that facility was opened up. We updated the bathrooms, we updated a lot of the look of it, and frankly, that was our B-look because they ran out of money and some of the money, our money, started going to the infrastructure and not to the front of the house. We have a comprehensive marketing plan in place. You know, we know how to market to domes. We know the annex gives us a very interesting opportunity there. We were with one of our corporate managers yesterday in Rogers Memorial Hospital Complex. So one of our customers needs a venue for 500 people. The annex would be a perfect example there. You could do cocktails here. You could do hors d'oeuvres here. You could walk over the annex and have a beautiful plate dinner. High-end, high-profile, exactly what you would like people to enjoy the domes with the type of demographics. I could go on and on. We did Barrett's Picnic for Saturday night. Just do a million and one things. We have very often put money in when the contract wasn't required. In the Miller Room, if you go online, you'll see a picture of me and Sue Black and Scott Walker shaking hands and with the Friends of the Parks. And that contract was up in 2015. 9 years early, we came up with $100,000 and Friends of Parks matched it dollar for dollar. And we renovated that room, and again, it drove revenue as far as parking when you own that complex, and of course, room rentals, and it was 9 years early. Because it simply needed it, and we knew that we weren't going to get Milwaukee County to do it, and we simply said, let's get it done. And we did. Who else? Farmers market. A lot of media on that. A lot of discussion on that. We never said we were exclusive. We had a meeting. I flew in, we came in, we met with the farmers market. If they were here, I think they'd say they shot first and asked questions later. We never said we were opposed to them, we never said we didn't want them. There was supposed to be a press release that was still waiting saying Zillies were harmless. They weren't involved, it was misinformation. And I'm saying it now because everyone is here, public and private, on the record, we had nothing to do with it. We never said we wouldn't work with them. We never said anything about it. It was nothing to do with us. Completely. When we read about it, it was in the papers when people started calling saying, what's up with you guys? That was the first we heard of it. And then we asked for a meeting. And again, I think if you were to ask them, they would say, yeah, we jumped real quick, we drew the wrong conclusion, and we created a problem. Paul, is that accurate?
That's accurate.
So I'm gonna follow up on what Jim was saying. Just for those who don't know, we did reach a deal with the Fondue Food Market. So there is an agreement in place. They're going to be utilizing the annex during the season on Saturdays. I don't know the exact schedule, but they've reached an agreement, and it was between the Parks Department and Zillies and the Fondue Food Market.
We really helped with the renovation with the public programming here, not just our business. I really want to highlight that. Liquor license. We currently hold 9 liquor licenses. People talk about liquor license and what can you do, what can you do. A liquor license is not transferable, it's for the building. And of course, we are very serious about what we're doing because we have the liability. I don't know if you remember, but there was a problem at Silver Spring Country Club. Someone had too much to drink, they went out, they killed some people, and of course they sued Silver Spring Country Club. We are very adamant about, we have a very specific, which we're happy to share, our training manual. We've had our district attorney come and in meetings like this, talk to our bartenders about being conscientious. If you were to look at our detailing sheet, if you called us for an event, a family reunion, a wedding, a corporate event, we specifically highlight certain things we won't do and that we reserve the right to turn people away, to stop it, we won't serve, you know, we'll turn off. If an adult starts getting a drink for an underage person, we cut off the adult. We're fairly comprehensive and detailed there. And we're scared to death. We know it's our liability. And we carry a very large insurance just for that reason. But we're very good at it. We know what we're doing. And it's been a good benefit to us and to our consumers.
Thank you, Mr. Zilli. This is very helpful for his background for us. This task force is engaged in trying to develop a pretty comprehensive way forward for this facility for the next 50 years or whatever. And I think we're looking to be very creative and flexible about changes here to make this operate more effectively as a facility for the people of not just Milwaukee, but of the region and the state. So I think what we will be hoping is that as the future evolves, that Zilli's will be flexible with respect to the changes that might be necessary to implement this way forward. Is that your...
We've always been flexible. We've always been flexible. Doesn't mean it's black and white and it's 100%. What we're going to do, but we've always been flexible. And again, there's too many county officials that go, gosh, they've been over backwards time and time and time again regards to the circumstance. And so again, we have an open mind. We think we can add value. We know we can add value. We know we can add value as far as, again, we see so many things in cultural institutions to make them relevant, to keep them productive, to make them where the community says this is a real value. Again, all we need to be doing is ask to participate. But if we're excluded from the conversation, and again, it's back to a lot of the public programming here, which helped drive a lot of revenue to Milwaukee County, was because I insisted that the footprint be different. And they were going to go a different way. I said, open it up, open it up, open it up. I said, Sue, trust me. And so I hear you loud and clear. Let me just finish, and then if anybody has any questions. We've provided over $203,000 in donations in kind. We track all that. We have given Milwaukee County since 2000 $426,000 in commissions. All right. We've provided $250,000 of capital improvements in 2008. We are open to additional capital improvements to get the annex to create a viable campus here for this property. Okay. That does not include that we are responsible on our nickel. We're doing all the marketing. We're collecting all the bookkeeping revenue, providing it to Milwaukee County. We're providing all the intellectual capital. It's just not the commission. We're handling it all. It's a pretty turnkey where they have a hands-off situation, and we've absorbed all those costs over the years. So as you mentioned, flexibility, us now having someone tour this place and bringing them on full-time, that was a savings of $50,000, $60,000 a year to Milwaukee County. Us handling the bookkeeping, that's a savings to Milwaukee County. That's not in the contract. That is a good example of flexibility and that we have really worked as a partner. Thank you. Questions? Anybody?
Yeah.
I applaud your company's success and thanks for your flexibility and for being here tonight. So I come from an organization that's hyper local, like the neighborhood just right here where Mitchell Park is. I guess my question to you is, if you're willing to share, is there any kind of profile on the demographics of your employee base for your company that we could?
Well, if you're asking me, and I don't want to. Are you Hispanic?
Yes, sir.
Okay, my corporate chef is Hispanic. He's down in Chicago right now. We call Roberto, he'll say, I went down and spent the day with Blue Plate Catering at an International Conference Association event. All right, now, if you're going to tell me how many people are white, black, blue, green, Hispanic, I can give you a lot of Hispanic people as references where I can bring them in here and say, how long, how did we treat you, what do you do, what was your growth opportunity, whatever.
Yeah, I guess I was looking just more in general.
I don't have, I'm not saying we couldn't provide, I don't walk around with that kind of, I don't have, frankly, that skill set where I'm saying I've got 18% Hispanic, 20% Caucasian, 14% African. I don't know. I can just tell you.
I just want to know if that information exists that we can.
I don't know. All I can tell you is as a company, we're colorblind. If you've got talent, you've got skill, you want to work, good to go. It's that simple. If you got talent and you want to work, we don't care. I mean, we've had people, I can give you people that were 80 years old, they were working for us. You talk about age discrimination. We had a guy once named John. He says, why do you work, sir? Why are you working? He says, I got divorced. She took all my money. True story. It was amazing. It was amazing. He ran circles around the 16-year-olds.
Don?
I'm not sure if you're the person to answer this question or not, but I guess one thought I had wondered is if an event is not being catered, is that space available? I understand that you are the sole caterer, but what if there's an event, you know, an organization wants to bring in a group for a lecture or something like that?
That doesn't keep us from doing it. There's public programming here all the time. I mean, again, you're asking about public programming, and that's my point, that a lot of the big-scale public programming, we really were the catalyst by changing the makeup of the room out there. That instead of getting 200 people, they've had 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people because they open up that space as far as what they're doing. That's public programming.
So, well, there was the domes programming. Is that space available for rent without catering?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, just to let you know, between Sandy Flora and I want to speak for Sarah, the Domes launches all their public programming a year and a half out. We get the calendar, and then we book our events around those events for the community, the public, all the different activities that you have going on here at the Mitchell Park Dome. So there is definitely space available outside of what we're able to book for just kind of events. And a lot of that is driven by the Domes specifically.
Yeah, I have noted that the revenue from the activities, the catering activities, was down pretty significantly in 2017 compared to 2015. Any explanation for that?
Well, sure. We had a record year going on in February 2016. We had 50 events here. You had some issues here, and those 50 brides blamed us. They blamed us. We had projected $600,000 revenue. We ended up with $300,000. We actually did a couple events in the annex and took some pictures. And we literally either lost it or placed in other venues, like the lady at the place on the third ward, that we came up with $10,000 out of our money. All right? It was the only one, but I almost had a heart attack. The booking cycle is 18 months out. Meaning if you look, 2018 was better than 2017 because the drama was a little bit over, it was a little farther removed from the news and the press, and 2016 books, we're booking 2019 and 2020 right now. So it's not a short term. The only short term business you get ever is corporate business. All galas are done in advance, all weddings are done in advance. This is, from a public perspective, other than December, this is a wedding venue. That's the reality. And those are done in advance. And again, we have looked and we're still behind, but we prepped it up. And I get a sales report on every venue we're at every single week. But 2017 is an indication of 2016. 18 months out is the window for booking.
Thank you. Anything else? We've got a
question. Yeah, I'll try to be brief. Just a quick question. Maybe this is to the county corporate council as well as you. Let's say, as a hypothetical or for instance, going forward, if a a community organization or a family wanted to hold an event in the annex, and they weren't able to afford some of the minimum spend for the catering services, but they still wanted to have food and beverage. Is that now off the table, given the contract or the possibility of the settlement going forward? What would that look like?
So I can answer that. We're developing the contract right now, so we're currently in negotiations of the contract. But the term sheet did call for a number of days out of the year that it was specifically reserved for, whether it be county functions or some other type of function. But as long as there's nothing going on in the annex, like a booking, for example, the annex is open. It's like any other public space. The space is open. So if it's not being used and a family wants to come in, I don't see why a family couldn't come in. And
you provide food and beverage.
Well, they can't provide alcohol. They can't provide alcohol because you're
yeah.
Who's got the liability then? The liability is for the liquor license is for the location. It's not an individual. It's for a location. Our liquor licenses, for example, down at Coast and Miller Room, or Burner for that matter, they're my name is on it. My family signed. We're providing the guarantee. But it's for that location. You can't have it where you're having people coming in and that there's a liability issue and they can just simply, on their own discretion, hope that someone does everything correctly.
So alcohol aside, because
right.
You can't drink in the parks, right, unless you get a permit. So I mean, alcohol aside, I don't see any reason why a family couldn't utilize the space if it's not being used.
So they wouldn't have to use Zilly if that was cost prohibitive to them?
Well, I mean, again, we're negotiating the contract right now.
Okay.
If the example is bringing a picnic basket in or doing something.
Or even a local restaurant that's licensed.
That might be a problem. Bringing in a local restaurant would be a problem.
Well, I guess this gets back to the general concern I raised about flexibility for the future. You know, we aren't managing the domes, this task force. This isn't our role. We're not doing the day-to-day management. But I think our understanding of how flexible or inflexible the pathway forward is important to us in determining what to recommend to the county to
right.
undertake.
And I think
so
that's why Mr. Zilly wanted to come to this meeting, to introduce himself and to hopefully become part of the conversation. Because as I said, we're currently negotiating the contract right now. So the dialogue really shouldn't be just between us, because the task force has a job to do as well.
You know, I think the one thing that we've mentioned six. One thing that might be considered is the terms under which the county might have a say in whether or not contracts are extended if those contracts turn out to be contrary to the way forward, not because of inflexibility or not doing a good job, but just because of changes here. That
oh, believe me, we've accounted for that already.
Because in the past, the contract was extendable for an additional term only after the option of Zilly.
Yeah, we've accounted for the Domes Task Force mission and for what the County Board of Supervisors may want to do in the future. That's part of the agreement. It's in the term sheet. You can all look at it yourselves online. So that has been accounted for. We're hoping, though, that, of course, that this remains a partnership and that it continues.
Yeah. We'd much rather work together.
Right.
Anything else on this agenda item? Hearing none, let's